This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
It's always a pleasure to be here with you, folks. And this is a timely conversation, nothing that any of us are a stranger to. We've been seeing this happen over the years in many respects, but we're going to drill down into it. This crisis in housing and home ownership in the DMV. And it's important that we talk to some of our esteemed clergy members, pastors, and activists in the faith community to have this conversation, as tempting as it is just to chit-chat and have a reunion with some of my fellow brothers in Christ. We're going to get down to a little bit of business. Some of y'all I haven't seen in a minute, and everybody looks the same. No one has aged at all, so we're thankful for that. Let's introduce, though, to get things going, our dear brother, Reverend William Spencer of Alpha Street Baptist Church, the Reverend Dr. A. Lionel Edmonds of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and the Reverend Dr. William Bennett of Good Success Church, all right there in the DMV. Good morning, brethren, and welcome to MIP on WPFW. How's everybody doing? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Good morning to you, Mark. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. It's been far too long. So let's get started. Reverend Bennett, I'll start with you. Mm-hmm. From your point of view, give us your analysis of what is actually going on in general with the crisis in housing and home ownership in D.C.
Yeah. Well, Mark, you said it in your opening how things have just degenerated from where it was when we were younger. Where our parents could afford a house in Washington, and it was the key to, you know, our economic empowerment and all of those things. And now all of that has just become so much more difficult and so much more challenging. And we recognize things like the flight to Prince George's County for cheaper housing or lower cost housing. It's nothing wrong with that if people make that decision. But in the nation's capital, we've always believed that there ought to be housing and affordable housing that people can live in the district, work in the city, work and live in the city. And because of a multiplicity of things, and I would just say straight up that I think gentrification played a role in that because the city, and you know this as well as I do, was predominantly Black. It is no longer the case. And so the flight for moving from the city to the suburbs and now almost impossible to move back into the city, it's a working class person, is clear that the gentrification, the raising of prices has had that kind of an impact. And let me just say, secondly, relative to our valuable public housing residents in the city, much of that has also been transitioned to make room for a different kind of housing. And then even some of the affordable housing project developments that, in our case, churches have sponsored, have come under the gun of developers who want to get control of the property so that they can eliminate it being made available for working class people. And so that's a whole nother story about what happens out of greed in the community. So I'll stop there so others can share, Mark. But that is what I see as an assessment of where it is.
And Dr. Edmonds, what is, in this crisis and under these circumstances, what is the role of the Black church to address this?
Well, it is always good to see you there, Doctor. The Black church, as you well know, doesn't divide between the sacred and the secular. We view everything as sacred. We view everything as potentially divine. So when we're talking about the role of the church in general, and the Black church in particular, in the lives of the community and our members, everything that touches them, we should be involved in, mm-hmm. including housing. So the role of the church in the housing crisis is to help create the power that will develop workforce housing. And the community. This comes through the Black church organizing our churches and communities, pooling our resources, advancing land that our churches have site control of, vetting developers who will not try to rip off the church, and beginning to create that kind of space where the community and our members have what we're aiming for is affordable housing.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Reverend Spencer from Alpha Street, what are some of the things that Alpha Street is doing to prepare its parishioners and make them ready, educate them, as well as those in the larger community? Because, Dr. Bennett, you mentioned that we all know when people were forced out of the city itself. But Dr. Spence, it seems as now that's beyond just the city. I mean, there's not much affordable housing when you go outside the city. When you start going into PG in Virginia, we're still priced out. So talk to us about that and what Alpha Street
is. Right. So I'll say this. I'm an associate minister at Alfred Street. I'm not on staff at Alfred Street. Don't get paid by Alfred Street. I was just in church yesterday. And
you want me to call Pastor Howard John Wesley about that? So get you paid. I'll text him.
but he did make an announcement yesterday that was amazing. That Alfred Street plans on building 145 units for affordable housing right there in Old Town Alexandria. And there's something that Dr. Bennett and Dr. Edmonds kind of alluded to about the Black church that is very important for listener to understand, is that the one instance in our Black community, the one institution that is wholly owned by people of suntanned hues is the Black church. And there's no other institution that is wholly and totally owned in our community. And so to hear about Albert Street, to hear Dr. Edmonds and Dr. Bennett talk about affordable housing and going through the church is an important and monumental thing for the church to do, because that continues the whole notion of our institutions going beyond just the sacred and the church house, but reaching into the community by ensuring that our community stays in the ownership mind state with our own personal property, with our homes.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely critical and very, very important in this overall conversation. And y'all, let's be clear. I'm just gonna say something. You know, over the past 20 years, there's been the advent of this prosperity gospel. We can't talk about prosperity gospel in the church if we're not doing what the church has started doing over 100 years ago and helping Black folk find some place to live. Am I right about that? I mean, that don't quite add up. Right, Dr. Bennett? What this is what we're supposed to be about.
No, you're absolutely right, Mark. That's the foundation. If I could just indulge a personal illustration of that. My father was the foundation layer for Galilee Baptist Church. I just preached there, be celebrating 70th year, but he was the pastor from the second year right on through. And he encouraged his members back then to buy houses on what was not Capitol Hill by Lincoln Park. Capitol Hill went to 3rd Street and East Capitol Street. But I remember that. He bought a house. Then he bought a house at 1314 Massachusetts Avenue and continued to encourage people who were relocating from the South and other places in that transition, coming here to get good jobs, to buy homes and starter homes. And that is the same message that needs to continue to be preached right now. We also have the capacity now, as Dr. Edmonds has alluded to, because we do have land, we do have resources to be able to be now those providers for even home ownership or certainly affordable home, affordable housing in that regard. And that's our challenge, and that's our goal, is to promote that kind of economic empowerment amongst all of the churches. And what that requires is it requires that we have trusted people who are tried and vetted, because every developer that smiles in your face is not for you. He's for what he can get from you. So the motive has to be pure. And fortunately, we are working with those developers and recommending them to pastors who can be helpful for the issue that we're talking about, and that is creating and maintaining affordable housing in our community. And so that's the resource that we want to bring to our faith community.
Dr. Edmonds, these developers, you found some, as you mentioned, as Dr. Bennett just mentioned, who are amenable to this, but you also were saying there are those who aren't. How difficult is that to navigate that space, finding developers who are amenable and supportive of our faith community and its members versus those who are just predators?
Well, it's not real difficult once you start doing your research and analysis. The thing is that you don't want pastors or churches to feel that they're isolated. So the main thing you want to kind of ask is, has that developer worked with any churches or pastors before? That's the first step you take.
Mm-hmm.
There are some who have, but we have to realize all developers are in it for profit. It's their business model. So the church needs to have, the pastor needs to have someone who represents their interests. So take, for instance, our organization that we're part of, helped to start DC Power. People organize for wealth, equity, and respect. We have 7 church projects totaling about 1,000 units of housing. Workforce housing. Out of those 7 projects, we vetted 2 or 3 developers who the churches are using. And this is very important. We bring pre-development money to the table. Pre-development money is the money you use to create the playbook to build your project. That's the hardest money to get. But the Lord blessed us to be able to raise pre-development money to help churches with their pre-development budget. There are resources out here. There are monies out here. Churches don't need to be afraid to get involved in producing affordable housing. Just remember that you're not by yourself.
Yeah. No, that's important. And Brother Spencer, tell us a little bit more about this big announcement from Alfred Street yesterday and how it was received by the Alfred Street family.
Black Baptists. I mean, it was clapping. That's all I could say. I wish I had all the detail to let you know. But there's land that Alfred Street owns that is adjacent to the church. And, you know, the plan is to indeed build those units so that folks that are working class can afford to live in Old Town. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the area, and those prices are sky high. I was having a conversation right before I came and joined with one of my coworkers, and in my parents and my grandparents' generation, the housing cost at that time was about 2.5 times their salary. In today's time, in the same areas that we're talking about, I heard you mention Dr. Bennett, Capitol Hill. We're talking about Old Town Alexandria. For the average median income, we're looking at 12 to 14 times someone's salary compared to 2.5 just a generation or two ago. And so when we're talking about affordable housing, I can speak directly to it because I live in inclusionary zoning property in D.C. at the Wharf. And I would not be able to live at the Wharf, be able to walk to work with the salary that I had when I first moved to D.C. 7 years ago. My wife is a native Washingtonian. And so I understand what that is from living in an inclusionary zoning property and affordable housing and some of the pitfalls and perils that can be adjoined to that. So it becomes very important that we have clergy, that we have the Black church that is supporting affordable housing for all so that we can, wherever we choose to live, whether it's in the suburbs or it's in the district in DC proper, that we can afford to live where we work at, where we play at, where we go and worship the Lord at.
Amen.
And Mark, if I could just add to that, that's so critical because many of the churches, as you know, their relocation was based on the gentrification that was taking place. And we are, as Dr. Edmonds has just said, trying to show that if you've got the right, if you got the land and you get the right counsel, you can be a part of a solution to do what just Brother Spencer's just been talking about, inclusionary housing, and maintain your presence and maintain the value of that property till Jesus comes. That's what we have to shift our mindset from. I'm thinking that if we go to the suburbs, it's only because that's where our people are. Our people will come into the city for church, and they will also stay in the city for housing. We've got to fight that battle of ignorance. We've got to fight the fear of many churches and many pastors, quite frankly. They just don't want to mess up in an area that they don't understand. So we're on a mission to help them, because sometimes you hear horror stories about what's happening to some of our historic churches who knew the importance of getting home ownership or affordable housing for the people who would be attending their churches. And so we can't let those, that lack of knowledge, you know, people perish because of lack of knowledge, stop us from addressing a real need that can also, to Pastor Edmund's point and Brother Spencer's point, still be empowering economically for the church so it can even do its mission in a greater way.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And listen, we won't even get started on churches who did have to relocate because so many people were pushed out of the city. And then we also know some of our churches themselves that didn't want to relocate were pushed out of the city because of gentrification. Yeah. And folk didn't want us in the city, having folk parking on Sunday. So this is a holistic struggle on many fronts. Dr. Bennett, before I leave you and go back to Pastor Edmonds, the Missionary Baptist Ministers Conference. Am I correct? You have just been appointed the president, the leader.
Yes, Mark. I've been elected president, so I'm president-elect.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much, man. I look forward to doing just what we're talking about now and having our conference, which is 140 years old, under the moniker of a respectable past. But honoring a respectable past, but realizing a responsible future. And great activists like you, Mark, will help us because we want to be heard, a voice at the table. We're demanding that for things like this that affect the economic empowerment of our community. You know, I'm a business guy. Came out of Howard's business school, went to the corporate world, wrote my doctoral dissertation about the African-American church as a conduit to economic empowerment. We've always been spiritually empowering, no doubt about that, but economically empowering. And our churches still have that capacity. We just want to continue to fight, educate, and do what we need to do. And we're thankful for people like you who bring this issue up so that we can highlight the fact that we still are a part of the solution. And the examples that Pastor Edmund is just giving you about the seven projects that are going on through DC Power is a great example of it being done right, where the church won't be taken advantage of, and they will do good by doing good.
Well, and Dr. Edmonds, and congratulations to you, Dr. Bennett. Yes, you are a businessman, and that was what made you has always made you extraordinary in your Christian and faith leadership. Dr. Edmonds, I'm really encouraged to hear about DC Power. And when we talk about our churches, especially those over 100 years old, as all of you all are, it never was just about coming to church, churches being organized for folks to just come get their shout on. It was always about folk getting what they needed to survive. It was all about survival 100, 150, 200 years ago, making sure people had places to live, especially as they migrated to the DMV. From other places deeper in the South, wasn't it? So this is truly our calling. And one other thing, y'all, now we're talking about the DMV now. We're going to stay focused, but this is happening all over the country.
Yes.
I live in New York now. Nobody can afford to live in New York. Where I grew up in Nashville, in my family's 150-year-old church in Nashville, nobody can afford to live in Nashville anymore. So if I want people to think about this. As we are in this season of Advent, most of us are struggling to have a place to live, to lay our heads, just like the first family, just like Christ's family. Mm. So, I mean, we can't separate ourselves from what we read in the Bible, Dr. Emmons. That's happening in real time for all of us out here.
Absolutely. Well, there has to be incarnation. The Word got to become flesh. There's no difference between the sacred and the secular. The kingdom's got to come on earth. So our spirituality has always been expressed as Black folk in our social consciousness, in our social activity, in our social actions. We don't have a heaven and mind and no earth the good theology in the Black church for the most part. So in DC Power, along with the pastor at the conference, we are seeking to address the crisis, not just in housing and home ownership, but then you know there's 1,000 churches nationwide that close each month.
Mm.
1,000 each month. So how do you address that? Well, the church is going through a transformation, reconfiguring what it means to be church. Our dean of Howard Divinity School with us.
That's Gilbert.
Yes. Told us that the kind of church that's needed now has not been created, and it's our responsibility to create it.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in the process of helping to reshape the church. And this doesn't have anything to do with the size of your church. It has everything to do with the size of your ministry and going beyond the walls of the church and through the church transforming the community.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we got to be involved in the economics. We got to be involved in growing our folks economically. And so I'm excited about where we are in the DMV, especially with the new elections coming up. Perhaps the most pivotal political season since Marion Barry was mayor. You got 4 city council seats open. The mayor's seat opened. Historically, they have invested $150 million in affordable housing. That needs to go up. The new Commander Stadium, 168 acres of land, that's going to be a revenue generator. There's supposed to be between 6 and 10,000 units of housing at that site. But we have to ensure that it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So the church has the opportunity to be centrally positioned in the transformation in the DMV, in the housing market, in shaping power. And our work is to duplicate this in other urban centers.
Yeah. No, that's very well said. And Brother Spencer, you mentioned your wife is a native Washingtonian. I'm a native Washingtonian. I don't know if I've done these numbers, but how many native Washingtonians, we have to ask at some point, are still able to live and afford to live in the DMV? And you know, that's a source of pride. Now I'm a native Washingtonian.
Yeah.
But where do you live? Don't live there because of what's going on. So that's, I'm thankful you were able to work that out. But that's what this ultimately is really all about, isn't it?
It is. And you know something, I'm glad that we have clergy on this call. When I was in seminary at the Interdenominational Theological Center in Atlanta, one of my professors used to say frequently that the genius of the Black preacher was to be able to preach hope to the enslaved and freedom, and also at the same time to the slave master, keep that tenet going for them. So there was two things going in the same language. And now it seems like there was a shift for the genius of the Black preacher as we came through the generations prior to mine, that justice was moved so that we could have civil rights. And now there is a shifting also that there has to be the genius that would preach hope to the parishioner as well as preach an economic justice factor to that same person, so that we get into a space where we have like our panel, folks that are business-minded and also spiritually minded, folks that can preach and also handle the pen and the budget. And so here we are, me married to a native Washingtonian with the opportunity, and let me be very personal real quick. We have an opportunity to have a house in Old Town Alexandria that is multi-generational in my wife's family. It needs to be completely redone. And this is a house that is passed down through generations, but how often do we get to keep those intergenerational homes in our community? That is something, there are small groups, I know of a brother in my chapter that does this type of work, and maybe this is also something that the church needs to do to ensure that folks that are getting homes that are being left to them stay in that family, because that is money. That is money.
That's big money, my friends.
Yes, sir. Please continue on that.
Let me give you an example of that. My father bought the house at 1314 East Capitol Street by Lincoln Park the year I was born, 1955, 70 years ago. He bought two houses, that one and one on Massachusetts Avenue, right around the corner, 1314 Massachusetts Avenue, 1314 East Capitol Street. Less than $15,000. He left the one for my sisters, left one for me. I always dreamed as a kid riding up on 16th Street to live on the Gold Coast. And so I sold my house at 1314 East Capitol Street for $440,000 and then went and bought a house up on 16th Street, right, for $600,000, right? You could not go back and buy the house that my father paid $15,000 for $1.8 million. You couldn't. Almost $2 million for that same single
family row house in that situation,
right? Same thing my sisters did, you know. And so, yes, we have beautiful homes and all of that out of the history of that. But if we understood at that time the importance of recognizing the sacrifice that went into that, it was not just for us to live well. We could have easily rented that house out and maintained that and continue to pass on that legacy and still buy other houses. So we've got an educational process to help our people understand that. Despise not small beginnings, but be wise in the stewardship of that which has been entrusted to you, because this generation has no idea of the sacrifice and the struggle that parents and grandparents and even great-grandparents went through to be able to have what you just talked about, Brother Spence, something to pass on to them.
Right.
And if you don't have an appreciation of it, you can easily misuse it. And that applies across the board in a multiplicity of things. And so there is an economic empowerment that we've got to teach our younger generation so that they value the struggle of what has been passed to them when they had to do nothing to get it. But it was a lot of struggle in all of that. And so we hope that our educational process through the churches, as well as making real live opportunities for those that are just getting started to understand and get these homes that we are fighting for and the DC Power is fighting for, to be a part of the whole re-landscape of that area that I personally grew up in. I went to Eastern High School right there, Brian Elliott Eastern High School, and it's all, my first job was at RFK Stadium. So it's being transformed. And we are not, to your point, Mark, if we are not consciously cognizant and woke, we will miss out on the opportunity. So we thank God for DC Power and others who are like-minded to fight for what we've got to get because it's a fight. Nobody, the developers don't want to lose any money. Sometimes the only reason they are acquiescing is because of the pressure that's being put on them to have a modicum of affordable housing that speaks to, you know, just not the wealthy being able to enjoy the prosperity of the city.
If folks, I may, Reverend Mark.
Well, we're just going to do this real quick, but in the 20 minutes remaining, folks, we want to give out the phone to those of you who have quick calls and questions about how you can learn more, how you can benefit, 202-588-0893. And I just want to do this before I give it back to you, Spence, to add to the story. I attended my brother, Kevin Peterman's installation at 19th Street. Now, that was a thing, Dr. Emmons and Dr. Ben. Folk wanted to live on the Gold Coast at one time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I haven't been there in a few years. So I'm looking around. I'm asking, what's going on up here? We not even on the Gold Coast like we used to be. That has gentrified. That was a place where we went. And so we, you know, there are a lot of things that we missed out on, folks. This is, and I'm sorry folk didn't get this when it started. This is real prosperity talk right here. This mm-hmm. is real prosperity gospel. And I know a lot of folk think, I remember Pastor Bennett in those generations who had those houses where your dad had his. And folks said, well, I'm just going to sell the house and move. And folks were like, no, don't do that. Hold on as long as you can. We just could not foresee where we are now. And Dr. Emmons, as you said, we got to make sure these commanders do right and be true. In the words of Dr. King, be true to what they're saying on paper. But go ahead, Brother Spencer. Folks, we'll get some calls in quickly, 202-588-0893. Go ahead, Brother Spencer.
Yeah, just want to say just two quick things. One, we've been using the word gentrification frequently on this particular panel. And I'd like to rename it and say wealth transfer. Of course, we are gentrifying and we are moving folks, but it's a wealth transfer. That's what we're really talking about, okay? The second thing I want to say about keeping property is the power is 100% economically, but it's 200% power in the sense of as you own that home on the Gold Coast and kept the home on Massachusetts, your political voice extends from one ward to the next ward. And so we have to be very cognizant that it's not just the economic power that we are trying to instill that we keep, but the political voice and power in our property tax dollar and our ownership sphere. And so I want to make those very clear because it's not just the dollar, it's the say-so.
Hey, man, no, you rabbit. And I like that. That's right. Most certainly is an appropriate way to address that in terms of wealth transfer. So now, Dr. Emmons, tell us a bit more about DC power. And if someone's listening and they'd like their faith institution to become involved, how do they get that process started?
Okay, DC Power is an organization of about 50 faith-based institutions and some unions and some businesses, but mainly about 50 faith-based institutions throughout the district in all eight wards. They can call my church, Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, at 202-347-5562. We are a organizing entity operating for increased power in the marketplace. We're non-denominational. We don't adhere to any political party. We are community-based. We are a dues-paying organization to increase the power in the community for structural change. And getting back to the housing piece, crisis, this crisis is much more than one church can handle. It takes at least 30 to 40 churches organized together to help create structural change. What needs to happen is the most important part of creating mass affordable housing is the land must be free. And that's where you got to organize to address the corporate and governmental interests to help them see in the political way. The land must be free on minimal cost. You can't produce, we need thousands and thousands and 10,000s of affordable homes for our community. And that's not going to happen if the land is too costly to develop. I'll give you an example. All these office buildings becoming vacant in D.C. What they're going to do with that property? What they're going to do with that land? The Wizards basketball arena. We were in conversation with them to help to try to produce affordable housing for their employees. They got about 3,000 employees. When we started talking like that, they dropped the conversation. So we have to be organized as a faith-based group to address structural change. We got to go beyond just 10 to 20 houses. How are we going to create 10,000 houses? How are we going to develop 30 or 40 acres of land? We need control of it. So, yes, our churches need to do it as well, but very few churches have 100 acres of land to develop. But there are swaths of land available in D.C. that could be used for affordable housing. As I stated earlier, the Commanders' new stadium, there's 10,000 units of affordable housing set aside for that. Two-thirds going to be controlled by D.C., one-third about controlled by the Commanders. These corporate entities need to get involved in the creation of affordable housing, and they need to partner with faith-based institutions to invest in the pre-development that most faith-based institutions need. Pre-development money out of their profits. If they come into the city, they need to contribute toward a pre-development fund to help the creation of affordable housing. Now, Amazon has some, you know, but not a, you know, there needs to be more than just Amazon doing that. The corporate community ought to match dollar for dollar what the city does in that particular city. In D.C. is between $100 and $150 million for the Housing Production Trust Fund. There ought to be a corporate match of that.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right about that. Let me do this, though, please. Pass it one more time. D.C. Power, what's the phone number to call? I want to put that on the 202 screen.
202-347-
uh-huh. 5562. And is there a website?
If they call that number, they'll get all the information they need.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, wonderful. We're gonna share that with everyone and get that up where everybody can see it. Folks, it's on the screen if you're watching us on social media. Call that number. And I love that acronym. What does it stand for again?
People Organized for Wealth, Equity, and Respect.
People Organized for Wealth, Equity, and Respect. That's outstanding. I love that. Love it, love it, love it. Folks, quick calls. Not a lot of time left. 202-588-0000. 1-800-273-0893 as we have this very, very important conversation. Dr. Bennett, are you confident? I'm troubled to hear that now about the Wizards. That's a shame. But are you confident that the Commanders are going to live up to what they've agreed to and the city will take full advantage?
Just want to drive home the point that there is the way you hold public corporations and even our government accountable is through the public pressure that is applied. And so people have to get involved and not just talk about what the problem is, but be a part of the solution. And and that's what DC Power is all about. It's just like what we started many years ago with the Washington Interfaith Network, not to digress on that. But the issue is still the same. If there is no voice that is demanding, these corporations will absolutely throw a little something at the problem, but they will not do anything unless they are forced to, because their goal is profit. And it's not necessarily about people, but there is a way that you can do good by doing good. That's and right. That is what organizations like DC Power and those of us that are serious about really trying to help deal with this situation and problem are trying to do. And so that is a great starting point for anyone who is really interested, and for any church that is interested. You know, we do work to consult to help you get off to a good start. And plus, we know the problem oftentimes of trying to convince a church family to take a step where they've never gone before. And so, Mark, we're glad to help any way we can in that regard.
No, and that's very important. I mean, these types of things have never happened. They're always brothers like you and churches like you all that take the lead to help others. Because as you've alluded to, some churches have been taken advantage of, been burned. People don't want to go through that. But again, y'all, you know, we got to practice what we preach. And that's not just for preachers. That's for those of us who sit in the pew. As Dr. Emmons said, we're not trying to be so heavenly bound. We're no earthly good. We can't talk about neighbors and loving thy neighbor if we ain't got no neighbors and can't afford to have no neighbors. That's the key word. We ain't got no neighbors. They don't want us to live no place where no neighbors are for us to love. So in order to do that, Brother Spence, I think that'll preach y'all. If this is going to work, Brother Spence, that has to be, that's not just metaphorical or pie in the sky. Literally, love thy neighbor. You need to be one. Everybody needs to have neighbors. And neighbors can't be neighbors. Love on one another if they can't afford to live somewhere. Right, Dr. Spence?
Oh, that's a definite fact. If you got folks that are living next to one another, and one has a substantial amount more than the other, at some point, the other is going to look at the one with the more with a lustful eye. And at some point, there's got to be some leveling of that field to ensure that we rise up like a boat, you know? When we have part of the idea behind affordable housing is that folks that have less go to schools with folks that have a little bit more, with the intent purpose that at some point that generation will rise up. And if we don't do that, then we've done ourselves a grave disservice. And that's why I mentioned that the economic power is one thing, but we have to have a voice. And if that voice comes through the a block like the Black church, then right, so be it. We've got to be that voice. We have always been that voice. And if we fail to do that, then we will fail generations that come behind us. It's important. I am a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. I'm the chaplain of the Washington, D.C. Alumni Chapter of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. And it is extremely important that my fraternity, all the other fraternities, the rest of the Divine Nine, and all of our organizations do the type of work that is being done in our churches so that we can have the economic power and the voice to do the things that we need to do in our community. We can't afford to fall behind. AI and everything that's coming out and happening currently, whether it's political or whatever the case is, we have to do all. It's not just affordable housing. It's not just one particular thing. It's so many different things that we have to coalesce behind to ensure a positive and bright future.
Amen, amen. Let's get a couple quick calls in. Let's see, we've got Jeff first. Jeff, God bless you. You're on the air. Go right ahead. Welcome to MIP on 89.3.
Thank you, God. I think we hit a lot of serious points, but I think we're missing the causal root of a lot when it comes to housing. One major factor is qualifications. Social Security didn't start until 1935. And then they connected it with the credit bureau in the 1980s. Qualifications is very important. And then that word language, you say affordable housing. Affordable housing for those who can afford it. You need to put it right side down to low-income houses with a ceiling on it. Therefore, you can kind of monitor who can get what where. Because credit, Maxine Waters has been doing the thing since 2014. The credit bureau is broken.
Okay. Let me get a reaction. Anybody want to respond to Jeff?
So, I agree with them that there is a challenge. I'm not sure that the renaming of it is the solution. But what I would say is that the battle is being fought on several fronts. I thank God for people like Attorney Donald Temple, my longtime friend, and William Johnson, attorneys that are fighting against the powers that be, that are strategically thinking of how to take advantage of the most vulnerable in our communities, aging seniors, people who don't necessarily have heirs in place, and how to make sure all of that transitions appropriately and that kind of thing. And you get bombarded wherever you live in the city with the sales pitch after sales pitch about if you're thinking about buying your home or selling your home and all of that kind of thing. So there's a battle to be fought on the legal side. There's a battle to be fought in the provision of more of the affordable, if you want to call it low income, whatever it is, all of that, because it starts, let's say, at low income, but then there's affordable. So you know, there's a progress. It's a progressive process.
Right.
You just don't go in from the beginning. I tell my young adults, get a townhouse. Let me give you this illustration, Mark, and I hope that this, with the minute we have, to just tell you. My father insisted when I left Howard Business School and went to Boston, he insisted, you are not going to get an apartment. You are going to buy a condominium. I bought a condominium in Boston, Framingham, Massachusetts, while working for Polaroid and then for Gillette. When I came back 8 years later, the profit that I made from buying that condominium allowed me to buy 1526 East Capitol Street in my old neighborhood, 1111 Queen Street, a four-unit building over by Gallaudet, invest in seven cleaners, that all, and to come to town back in a brand new Mercedes. I mean, from a business standpoint, purely, that showed me, and it's what we've got to do. So I just want to ring the bell and say, please, don't count yourself out of home ownership, whether it be low-income housing, affordable housing. Get yourself pre-qualified. Fight for putting yourself in a position, if it's starting with a condominium or if it's starting with, you know, a house that's not where you ultimately want to be, but build that equity. And again, just a moment of shout out, because there are so many unscrupulous people who are in the real estate business that you have to be careful and make sure that you have proper representation, because people know that there is wealth in housing, and many of our seniors are vulnerable in that regard. And please cry out for help if you need it. We are available to make sure. And I know that my friends Donald Temple and William Johnson will fight heaven and earth to make sure that our seniors and others are not taken advantage of in any housing crisis situation that might be going on. So I just want to give a shout out to say that there's help and hope. Whether you're trying to get started or whether you're trying to protect what you have,
please know that there are people here who can help you with that. Feel free to reach out. Mark, if I could just give my phone number as well.
Please,
for anybody
real quick.
May need support, 202-607-8381. 202-607-8381.
That's that. Also, DC Power, 202-347-5562. I'm afraid we're out of time. But gentlemen, I want to thank all of you, Reverend Spence. Give Howard John Wesley our regards, and thanks for all Alpha Street doing. Good Success Church is on. And dear brother, I've known for years, Dr. William Bennett. We did a lot of work with Marion Barry together. And also Dr. Lyle Lemons. Miss you too, brother. Miss all of you down there. I'm not far, though. You know, I move, but it's almost like I'm there once a week anyhow. But I want to be
successful. We know how to find you.
But listen, if you all need me in any way in this project, call on me on the air, off the air, whatever. I love you all. Folks, thanks to Donald Temple, too, for putting us all together. Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
God bless you all. Remember, the Holy Family had nowhere to live. Let's do better for ourselves. As Jesus gave his life for us, let us give our love and concern for others in this Advent season. God bless
Amen.
You both. All minds are clear.
God bless you.
May you play.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.